tomorrow. I want us to open our Bibles tonight just in the Word of God, and first just a verse of God's precious Word, and then we'll bring the Word that God has laid in our hearts for tonight. I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John and the second chapter. And I want us just to read a verse here from the passage of God's Word. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll bring a little word from the Lord tonight. We pray that God will challenge us even as we open His Word together this evening. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, it says these words. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word tonight. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou will help me just to bring the Word that Thou hast laid in my heart. O God, our Heavenly Father, we just rejoice tonight that we're bowed in Thy presence, and we thank Thee for those who are saved and those that are secure in Christ. But Lord, if there be one tonight and they know not the Lord Jesus, O God, I pray in Jesus' name that this might be the night. The night of all nights, that they will come by simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Thy lovely Son, as their Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. Hear and answer our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' precious name and for His sake and glory. Amen. This is the last Sunday of 2019. It just seemed a short time. It was the first Sunday. The year passes so quickly, and now the year is practically over. And as you gather next Lord's Day, it'll be the first Sunday of a new year for those that God will spare to see it. And as I was thinking about the last time in that little verse, that phrase was given twice in that verse, in 1 Peter chapter 2:18. It says, this is the last time. And I thought about the last time for different people in the Word of God. The last time, some did not even realize it was it. But it was their last time. You see, the book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. And it's appropriately called Genesis, because there we have the origin of so much of our universe, of the sun, the moon, the stars, of plants, of birds, of fish, of animals, of human beings. It's the beginning of marriage, beginning of nations. Sadly, it was the beginning of sin. In that book, too, is recorded the beginning of death, because the Word of God says, by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But friend, whilst there is the beginning of things, there's the end of things. There comes to the last things. And friend, we're come to the last Sunday. Little children, this is the last time. And I want you to think of that tonight. First of all, I want you to turn to the book of Exodus chapter 9. In the book of Exodus chapter 9, and in the verse number 12, we read these words, Exodus chapter 9 and verse number 12, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Now, many people who know their Bible will understand the story here. In the book of Genesis, Joseph is dead. The children of Israel increase in the land of Egypt, and the land seems to be full of them. And so another king rises, another Pharaoh rises in Egypt who knew not Joseph. Natural fact, whenever he was challenged concerning the God of Israel and the God of mankind, he said, Who is this God? He challenged indeed the reality of God and who God really was, that he should serve him. He didn't see his need of God. You know, many people tonight in Ulster, they do not see their need of God. Who is this God? I don't need God. You see, one of the tragedies of this materialistic age in which we live, that man is so full of himself, there's no room for God. It says to us in God's word that whenever the Lord Jesus came into this world, it says there was found no room for them in the inn. And friend, that's exactly what it is. All of these years later. For as far as mankind is concerned, there is little room for God. Yes, room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place which he could enter in their hearts for which he died. And so we find that Pharaoh is challenging, who is this God? God says, I'll soon tell you who I am. I'll show you who I am. And God tells Moses not only to go into the presence of Pharaoh with Aaron, his brother, but God tells him that God is going to send plagues upon the land and God is going to reveal himself who he is and God is going to intervene in the land of Egypt and that God is going to prove himself before this ungodly king. And so God sends the river of blood. And God sends the frog, and God sends the lice, and God sends the flies, and God sends the death of the cattle. And so God is moving in the land, and you'll notice something is happening. Whenever this is happening, the Bible tells us concerning this king of Egypt, it says that Pharaoh, go to chapter 8 and verse 32, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would let the people go. And then when you come to chapter 9, and we read in verse number 12, this is what it says. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Now you and I remember that there were 10 plagues, and quite often we think about the first one, about the blood, and we think about the last one, whenever the death angel entered into the land. But you notice, my friend, the plagues were divided in two. God sends the first 5 plagues, and the Bible tells us that God was giving his mercy, and Pharaoh was experiencing the mercy of God. God was seeking to step into Pharaoh's life to prove who he was. But the Bible says this, Pharaoh hardened his heart. He didn't want God. And then when you come to that 5th plague, you find that that was the last mercy experienced by Pharaoh. Because when it comes to the 6th one, it says this. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You see, God lets man go so far. And God gave Pharaoh an opportunity to obey him, to bow before him, to surrender to his will, to let the people go. But no, Pharaoh hardened his heart. He wouldn't yield to the mercy of God. And then it comes to the 6th plague. And God hardens his heart. God says, the last mercy is extended. Judgment is coming. Let me tell you, my friend, maybe you're here in the service and maybe you've been coming to the service for years. Maybe you've heard the gospel so many times and the gospel invitation has been given, the appeal has been extended, and the call has been given to men and women to come to Christ. And maybe there have been times you remember that you even shook in your very shoes as you listened to the challenge of the Word of God, and you realized that you were a sinner, and you realized that you were lost, and you realized that God was calling you to repentance, but you were saying no, 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 no to the Spirit of God. Yes, you were saying it. You are hardening your heart. Maybe you think you'll always do that. But there was a last mercy experienced, because there came the time when God says, no, no further. And the last opportunity was given. Do you remember the days of Noah? God sent a servant, Noah, not only to build an ark, but he preached. In 120 years, he preached the word, and he begged the people to turn to God and to repent of their sin and to come into the ark, the only place of refuge. Yes, the people heard what God's servant said, but they didn't believe it. They didn't want to leave their sin. They didn't want to listen about judgment. No, they wanted to go on just the way they've been going. And God's servant preached and preached and preached and preached and preached as he built that ark. And then one God says this, Noah, yet 7 days. There's only 7 days more. And God was extending a last mercy. I believe that Noah cried out to those people. You know what God told me? He said, yet 7 days. There's just 7 days left. That's all there is. But they laughed at him. They thought that God's servant was mad building an ark, that God was going to send judgment or flood upon the land, but they didn't know what it was to have rain. The ground was parched, and they laughed at God's child. And then God said this, Noah, come in. I see you, Noah, walking up that ramp. Listen to what God said. He said, Noah, bring your family. And come in, come in. Come unto me. And he walked up that ark, into the ark, and then something happened, friend. That's what it says. God shut to the door. That door never opened again until every last creature and every last man was destroyed. See, God wasn't filling. Yet 7 days more. But they wouldn't come. And here we are on the last Sunday of 2019, and perhaps Sunday after Sunday you've come faithfully to God's house, and God's child has been rejoicing to the fact that you've come to God's house. But my friend, you haven't come to Jesus. I saw the wicked buried who have come and gone from the house of the holy. And friend, you can come to God's house, but if you don't come to Jesus, you'll never be saved. For the Lord Jesus is the only way of salvation. And something happened after that fifth plague. It doesn't say Pharaoh hardened his heart. It says the Lord hardened his heart. There is a time we know not when. There is a place we know not where that seals the destiny of man for glory or despair. He can live and he can feel that all is well, that all his fears are calmed, and he lives and he dies and then he goes to hell. Not only doomed, but damned. There came the day when the last mercy was extended, the last of opportunity. and he sealed his judgment. Turn quickly to the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, chapter 5, it says this. In verse number 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Then go on down the chapter. And it says, verse number 24, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is an interpretation of the thing, Mene. God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it, Tekel. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting, Perez. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Verse 30, in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldean snake. What was the start of this, the chapter 5? Belshazzar the king made a great feast. There was the last meal that he enjoyed. But he didn't know it. Notice, he didn't know it. Pharaoh did not know whenever that fifth plague had come that God was extending the last mercy. Here we find that Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, it was the last meal that he would ever enjoy. The Jews, of course, had been brought into captivity in Babylon for some time now. It's coming near the end of the Babylonian captivity. They had carried the Jews captive, and now they're losing their grip, and the Persian army was gaining power. Cyrus and the Persian army encamped around the city of Babylon. But friend, the people thought they were safe. They thought they were safe. Why? Because the walls were wider than any other. The food in the city was a great supply for years to come. The river Euphrates had flowed right under the walls of the city. They were so confident. And no matter about that army outside, it didn't matter about them. They could stay inside the city and they would be safe in Babylon. Why? Because of their own self-security. They had water. They had food. They had the mighty stronghold of the walls. Nobody could break through. And so what did Belshazzar do? He didn't cry to God that there was an army out there about, no, friend. No, he made a feast for 1,000 of the lords. And then he remembered that his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had brought the vessels of gold from the temple down there in Jerusalem. And he sent for the vessels and he put the wine of the world in those holy vessels. And as he put the wine of the world into those holy vessels that once were there in Jerusalem, those 1,000 of the lords, they would lift up those golden goblets and they would shout, O King, live forever. Forget about the soldiers outside. Forget about the Persian army that's around the city. Forget about it. We're secure inside. They had a feast. Can you see it? The dancing. The boozing. The song. The sin. What about it? We're secure. And friend, little did they know that as they were feasting, the Persian army redirected the water of the Euphrates, and the soldiers were marching under the wall. And what does it say? In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. He had his last meal. his last party. But you know, before that happened, before death came, a finger appeared in the wall. And it wrote the message from God. God says, I have weighed thee in the balances, and you're found wanting. God hath numbered thy kingdom. Listen to this. And finished it. Your kingdom's finished, Belshazzar. But then he says, thou art weighed. And you're found wanting. And that night, he died. Last meal enjoyed. Little did he know, friend. Little did he know when he was standing there as he felt in self-security that everything was well. Little did he know when he was taking that last meal and enjoying that last party that God said, it's over. Party's over. And friend, God can say that to me. I remember one night there was a worldly group of people were in a dance hall. And the band was about to start the dance music. And the young man was about to take the stage. And as he was about to, he took the guitar and he put his guitar on him. And he was about to strum the first. And suddenly the electric current went through the guitar and just threw him off the stage to the ground. And before the dance started, it was over. It's over. And our dear loved one that you talked about, the Kerrigan family, 98 years. And yet, friend, in a moment, it's over. As far as this world is concerned. But God says, Belshazzar, I have weighed thee. You see, God saw everything that Belshazzar did. He knew Belshazzar's heart. He knew his sin. And God says, it's over. Friend, there's not one of us know. What does God say? Boast not thyself, what? Of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I had a cousin died there just about a month ago, 102. And friend, think of it. For 102 years, that wee heartbeat kept going, never to miss a beat. 102 years. What has man invented that goes on for that length of time? Never to miss a beat. And then it stopped. Never to beat again. This side of eternity. The last meal. Yes, Belshazzar made, the Bible says, the king made a great feast. What a meal it was for 1,000 of his lords. But he didn't know he was taking his last one. Then turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, many of you know this story. The Lord Jesus Christ told a story concerning a rich man. It was a parable. Verse 16 of Luke 12. And Jesus spake a parable unto the saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here's the last message exchanged. Because there's two sides of this. It was the message that the man said to himself. And the message that God said. And you notice they're different. Here's a man who was richly blessed of God, friend. But notice God's nowhere in the story. It's all about I. It's all about me. I'll do it my way. And he was so richly blessed that he had got a problem. Where was he going to put all his goods? Where was he going to put all his fruit that God had so blessed him with? Then he thought, and he says, this will I do. Notice it says this. And he thought within himself. He's talking to himself. Have you ever done that? Talk to yourself. Somebody asked a person, why do you talk so much to yourself? He said, because I can't find any more sensible to talk to. So he talked to himself. Here's a man, and he's thinking, what am I going to do? And then he came up with a plan. This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And then it says this. But God said. See, the man promised himself many years. You said to me, well, that man was stupid. Let me ask you this, friend. Well, if you think that man was stupid, then I asked you a question. If you're not saved now, why are you not saved? Why are you still in your sin? Why have you sat this past year and years before in your sin? Not that you don't know the gospel, not that you don't know you need to be saved, but you're still without the Lord Jesus Christ because you've said within yourself, another day, another time, I'll come to Christ. But there's time enough yet. Yes, you have thought within yourself. Many seasons, many meetings still to come. And yet, friend, you could be sitting in your last one tonight. And what is God doing? God is extending one last mercy. Not only before the year dies, but before you do. Before you go out to eternity. Plenty of time to decide where I'm bound. Is it to eternal darkness? Is it to the heavenly ground? I'm just a young man. Not even in my prime. So I just wait. Plenty of time. There was a danger he didn't realize, friend. There was a future that didn't materialize. And there was an eternity he didn't visualize. Because God says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You see, friend, there's something you and I have got to realize. We're not in control. God appointed the day of your birth. and as God has determined, the day of your departure. And all that is in between, that's because of the goodness of God. God's been good to you. He's given you another opportunity, another day, another gospel meeting, another gospel appeal. This man mistook himself for God. He says, "This will I do. You have much goods laid up for many years." So just lie back. Eat. Drink. Be merry. Live the way you want to live. Friend, and you can. Make no mistake about it. You can do that. You can live the way you want to live. But I'll tell you this, my friend. If you live the way you live, you'll not die the way you want to die. Because if you live the way you want to live, you live in sin. And the wages of sin's death. Hell forever. And everybody wants to go to heaven. But if you die in sin, you go to hell. All modernists and liberalists have scrubbed hell out of this book, friend, but let me tell you this. You read that book, and the Lord Jesus, who's love itself, the Lord Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. And he warned men and women to flee from the wrath which is to come. The last message exchanged. And man said to himself, many years. And God said to man, you're only a fool. Thy soul shall be required of thee. Time's away tonight. I want to show you something. We read tonight in the 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. It's the last time. We're living in the last days, friend. I believe with all my heart we're living in the last of the last days. I believe that soon the Lord Jesus Christ himself will come again. But he's talking about this is the last time. And then turn as we close to Revelation chapter 10. The last time. Revelation chapter 10. Verse 6, or verse 5, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein. And this is what the angel said, that there should be time. No longer. The last time. What's God saying? Friend, there'll come a moment when God's going to wrap this whole thing all up. And this whole world that you and I seem to dig more and more into as if we're never going to leave, God will send forth the angel and he'll make this declaration. Time
say, what then, Brent? Eternity. Eternity. And that's where you're heading. That's where you're heading. You're heading to eternity. God has set eternity in our hearts. You and I, there was a day when we started to beat, the old heart beat for the first time. But friend, when it closes down in this old world, remember, it's not over. It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, don't let the devil fool you. Don't let others fool you. There is a hereafter. After this is God, the judgment. And God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. That's the Lord Jesus. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. If you don't bow the knee to him now, friend, you will in God's eternity. But it'll not be to your salvation. Then it'll be to your eternal damnation in a Christless hell forever. The harvest is past. The year's nearly over, friend. Summer of opportunity for your soul nearly ended. Maybe tonight it will. Will it be said concerning you, and you are not saved? What a tragedy. What an eternity. Lost forever. Will you come to Christ tonight? Thank God. Thank God he's willing to save. Thank God he's a God, the Bible says, ready to pardon. But you've got to turn from your sin. Repent of your sin. And trust him. Alone. As your Savior, not the minister, not the sacraments, not the church, not creeds. There's only one you need. It's Christ. And then you'll never perish. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have Heavenly Father, thou knowest the hearts of this congregation. Thou knowest those that are saved and those that are not. Lord, if this must be the last night on earth, thou knowest those that are ready and those that are not ready. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, ere the meeting draws to a close, can I make a simple gospel appeal? Is there someone here in this service tonight and God has spoken to you maybe many times before and is extending that mercy one, perhaps the last time? What will you do with Jesus? Will you come to him? You say, how can I come, preacher? You come as you are, a sinner. And you come by faith and receive Jesus Christ to be your only Savior from your sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if there's someone here God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're backslidden. There's a time you once walked with God, but you're away from God. Friend, don't end the year like that. Don't run from God. But in God's name, run to Him. Come. Come and welcome to Jesus. And if there's one right now, up in the gallery or downstairs, as every head is bowed and God's people are praying, can I make this simple gospel appeal? If there's someone here tonight, and your desire, the desire of your heart is to be saved or backslider to be restored, as every head is bowed, would you just lift that hand above your head that I'll see it? Indicate that desire, friend. Preacher, lead me to Christ. When the meeting's over, we'll go to the little prayer room and we'll point you from God's word how you can be saved. Is there one before we close? O Lamb of God, I come. O God, our Heavenly Father, let not one go away without Thee. But even as they make their way to the door tonight, O God, stop them in their path and turn them to Jesus, for Jesus' sake.